Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Greetings, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Margaret Ann Lembo comes aboard to spill the beans about crystals, as in all about crystals. But before we get started, let's welcome my co-host, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Stephen. How are you?
Oh, I am great. I couldn't be better. I'm excited to hear all about crystals. This is an area that I know little about, so I'm looking forward to learning tonight. But before we get into all of that, why don't you share with all of us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Thank you, Stephen. I'm a psychic medium, which means I connect with people in spirit, and I find it very healing to help people receive evidence from their loved ones in spirit and receive evidence about the continued existence of the human soul. I'm also an astrologer. I very much enjoy astrological research and analysis, as you do, and using the incredible insight available from the heavens applied to our clients' lives and queries.
Yeah, well, I got to say, Steve, one thing I admire about you is that you're the perfect blend of psychism and scientific method. Very rational yet spiritual approach. Everybody, you definitely want to book some time with Steve Frampton at PsychicAccess.com. Nona Marie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fabulous. Great to be here. I'm very excited about the show. I love talking about crystals and haven't talked about crystals in years, so I'm thrilled to hear somebody who's up on using crystals for healing and communications. It'll be a great show.
Yeah, we're going to have a wonderful banter after the interview as well during the second hour. That much is for sure. But before the interview begins, why don't you share with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
I do predictive readings. I also do pet readings. I can work with tarot decks if people are interested in tarot readings, and love to be of service to help people more clearly see the trail in front of them. So there's hopefully a little less tripping and a little more joy as we wander through the trails of life.
Absolutely. Well, I gotta say, your readings are always very probing, very revealing, and it's definitely well worth your time to go to PsychicAccess.com and check Nona Marie out. She can definitely help you. And Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
Fine. Can you hear me okay? Yes.
Oh, loud and clear. You sound beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I figured it all out as life as we know it. I'm doing fine, thank you very much, I suppose. And how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I can't wait. Great. I can't wait to learn about crystals and all that good stuff. But before we bring out the guest, would you mind sharing with us what you do at Psychic Access?
Yes, I'm an intuitive psychic, and I utilize tarot as my tool of choice because I feel very connected with that, and I feel tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, and my work is very important to me, and I love helping others if I can, if they get something with this.
Well, I think it's really easy for your clients to bond with you because you really know how to connect to people at an emotional and sort of intangible, untouchable level. And we're very, very proud to have you at PsychicAccess.com as well. Would you mind describing a little bit about Margaret Ann Lembo, please?
Absolutely. I am really looking forward to her joining us soon. Margaret Ann Lembo is from Boca, Florida, not Boca Raton, I'm sorry. And she's an award-winning author of best-selling Chakra Awakening, which is now in five languages. She's written some fantastic books. on the Essential Guides to Crystals. They're very easy flowing books. She's very straightforward. I like her way. She also is she's written several other books too as well, but she has led workshop and classes all throughout the country in Canada. And she is going to be joining us. And she also, The Crystal Garden is a bookstore that she does run also. So I'm really excited to have her join us. And if she's there, that'd be great. Margaret?
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Margaret. Hello. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Fine. I really, you know, I'm really looking forward to interviewing you this evening. And I saw Doreen Virtue wrote a lovely, what would you call it, testimony to the book, one of your books. I say you're a straightforward, straight to the hip type of woman, you know, that she, you know, really, I love that. And your work, I have read some of your books that's why I was looking forward to the show instead of getting too much involved if people don't understand the verbiage or something, because there's so much about stones and crystals and you know, you're pretty straightforward with it. And I think it'd be a lot of fun to, you know, talk about that. Also, people of all ages could understand better. Your children, you could, you know, get together with your children and have fun. You know, instead of going too much involving we all know they're for healing, but you wrote a fantastic book that was geared for children, not for them to read, but was geared for them to understand the colors and the type of stones to pick out, and so they would have an understanding. Is that correct?
I did. My first book is Chakra Awakening, and my second book is The Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones. And at the same time as The Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones launched, I also was blessed to have published Color Your Life with Crystals. Fintuin Press published that for me. And I really wanted to have that for young readers. It's geared to ages 7 to 12, yet I'm finding that adults love it even more because it's like a really easy read, and it's really just a very simple approach to color, chakras, and gemstones.
Yeah, and it's something that you could really, instead of going to get manicures or pedis with your children, it's a really nice thing to kind of introduce. I noticed that book, I found it interesting for me. But thinking about your grandchildren, I just thought, you know, what a cool thing to write that was geared towards, because it's such a lovely, stones and crystals are so lovely, and like, you know, there's a lot of different properties to them, there's a lot of healing, but also there's a basic, authentic, organic, of course, self to picking them out, and for you, and the jewelry, and for children to know in a way at that age, I think is a really lovely way to introducing crystals into their lives without getting too much, you know, overwhelmed, I guess.
Yeah, they seem to be so naturally attracted to it. The way that book evolved was one of my customers was in with her grandson, and the grandson asked me, and he was around 8, because I asked him after he inquired, he wanted to know if this book, he came with a book in his hand, he said, is this for me? And I said, well, it's, you know, not meant for children, is that what you mean? And he said, yeah. And I said, I really want to understand and learn about crystals. And so I researched it. I had my bookseller hat on, you know, because I was a bookseller and still am for so many years. And I searched and searched, and then I couldn't find one. So I thought, my book is a best-selling book, you know, Chakra Awakening. Let me write a young reader's version. And I did. And then it was just a little bit of work to find a publisher, but I was so grateful to find Fintorn to do it for me. So that's all, you know, very successful. All my books, thank goodness, are very successful, including my deck, the Angels and Gemstone Guardians cards.
Yes, they are. In fact, I have not bought them, but I have looked them over. I have seen your books. When did you write the Essential Guide to Crystals, the Minerals and Stones?
The Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals and Stones launched in April of 2013, but I wrote it in 2011 and 2012. I mean, like, okay. It took me a while to write it. It's a pretty comprehensive book.
It's excellent. That's everybody out there. If you want to, it's a great book to go through. And again, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? not user-friendly, but you have a flow with how you can, you know, it's very straightforward, but it has a lot of great information that isn't intimidating. You know, for anybody. And because you really talk in that book about, so you added to it as time, a couple of years go by, you added more information. Is that why you?
No, I actually set out to create a book like this because I've been selling gemstones for, more than 25 years now, probably closer to 30 years. And, being a rock seller as well as a book seller, I knew what books were beneficial to my customers as well as for my staff to help customers. So I put all the components into all the books that I knew were going to help people find their way around and navigate and get the information they needed. So I did approach it from that perspective. Like a Bible. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And no, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I want to say it again. That's what I really want. I really wanted to interview because you're very clear and straightforward about, okay, this is about Chris. And you said something about your staff would be more, informed so they could make some informed suggestions or tell people about it in a clearer fashion. Because sometimes it's so overwhelming, crystals. I mean, I have found, and perhaps that's why you did write that particular thing in a form where people would, you get right to it. You get right to it. And a lot of times, Volgel crystals, for instance, things like that, people that have these high-tech things, it's way over comprehension sometimes, and it's just lovely to have a basic the organicness of it all, and I am sure all the other information for some, but you carry along with a feeling that people would not feel intimidated. Hey, I was really want to get connected or acquainted with these stones and what the color would mean, even, or picking one out, how special it is. Could you talk about that, as in fact, about how that is really important for maybe somebody to.
What's that on how to pick a gemstone? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, for them personally, the color and how people are attracted to the certain, shapes.
Of course, yeah. So, there's a couple of different ways to answer that, and so one thing that I have found is very beneficial for people to pick out a gemstone because they always want to be told what stone they need. But I find it very beneficial and also very empowering to redirect them to allowing their eyes and their consciousness to lead them to the rock they want. Now, I'm not talking over-the-top woo-woo in this regard. I mean, standing in front of a series of gemstones, like we have the tumbled stones in bowls at the Crystal Garden. We have, so it has a bowl of carnelian and a bowl of green aventurine. Like they're just bowls, glass bowls filled with beautiful tumbled stones. So I encourage people to look and see where their eye is drawn. What are they naturally geared to? And they'll say, well, I'm not picking for me. I'm picking for my friend who has blah, 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 and they have this situation. And it's like, that's okay. It still works the same way. Keep them in your mind and your heart and just start looking, and you'll find this always works. They pick up a stone, then they read about it, because I ask them, please don't read the little description. Just go with your intuition, go with what your color, your eye is drawn to. And sure enough, when they read the information, either on the little piece of paper that's in the bowl with the gemstones, or when we go to my book, The Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones, they find, wow, this is so on target for what I need, or in the case of picking for another person, what my friend needs. And we all have the information. I'm sort of unselling my book, but we're all intuitive. We all know what we need. We just don't trust it necessarily.
Exactly. And if they don't have, I like how you said, don't read about it or anything else like that. Just pick what intuitively feels connected. In fact, that's how I first stones in the 80s, late 70s. I thought, how much fat, all the crystals, everybody's buying those. And I purposely didn't want to be a part of that. And this man goes, had a van with all these crystals from Arkansas. And he goes, just looking, I've been looking at millions of these things in his van. I go, okay, that one. Well, I ended up getting a record keeper of all things. A record keeper. I didn't know what that was. I found out later. But it was interesting because I didn't know anything about it. In fact, I thought they were silly. And from there, it took me to a journey of, wow, crystal. That was for me at the time. And then I lost it. I don't know where it went. Someone else got it. But it was for me. It was for me. Definitely. It wasn't for anybody else. It was meant for me. And I think with children, when I've introduced crystals and stones to stones, you know, they have those tumblers. Do they still have tumblers? You could tumble your own stones, to get them involved and such, and use that intuition about what works, the cut, whatever they're, you know, driven towards. And also in astrology, you talk about in astrology wise, these stones are connected into each, astrologically speaking. Could you talk about that a little bit too as well?
Sure. So what I've done with, in the Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones is I connected with the gemstone, just writing each section, each different gemstone specifically. I would connect with the gemstone by first researching the geological, that, you know, how it grew, where it grew, what conditions were present. Is it growing in a river or an ocean? Is it something that came from the sap of a tree, like amber? Is it something that was a result of a volcano or an eruption or or something hitting the earth, like a meteorite? And based on like the essential, like, beginning vibration of the gemstone, that would give me a clue. So for example, a stone that is very much from like, say, from a riverbed, or that grows in water, is going to help with the emotions. And then water-based is also going to have to do with maybe Pisces, you know, or because that such has a Neptunian vibration to it. So it's easy for me to correlate and translate how it might relate to a stone. The stone relates to a sun sign, as well as the planet. And sometimes I even incorporated, if it felt applicable, even one of the asteroids. Because just like the stone has a meaning, it would make common sense to me, because I've been, you know, in the world of metaphysics the majority of my life, that it would translate to how it would resonate with a planet or a zodiac sign. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's four total hosts on the show. You know, you can't hear them. They're very quiet. Two of them, which are, astrologers and very good ones, is that. Oh, yes, it makes perfectly good sense to me. Do you find that with children, too? I don't know if there's any other books like that, what you wrote. I know they're all unique, but that really is the best book for any younger person to connect with, that book that you wrote. But do you find that children are connected, or have you noticed that children may be connected to a certain color that it's interesting? It might actually be their astrological, I mean, just because they don't know, but it just is connected to their, have you noticed that?
I don't know if I've noticed that. What I've noticed is that children are interestingly enough attracted to the dyed gemstones or the man-made gemstones.
Right.
And that I think it's because of the brilliance of the color and the vibrancy of the color. So like, yeah, you know, magenta dyed agate or blue dyed agate or teal dyed agate, or even a bismuth, which is man-made, or goldstone, which is, you know, made of copper sulfites, and it's really glass, like originated from like Venice area. So it's very interesting and has to do with vibrancy. But I haven't, because it's not like I asked them, you know, what sign are you, or anything like that.
You know, sit there and go, I'd like you to take a survey, please.
They'll be like, what does this crazy lady want to ask me what sign I am for? They might not even know what that means, depending on their age, right?
You know, I just saw that. And I wish that book was, when did you publish that book particularly?
Which one? Color Your Life with Crystals?
Yes, that one.
The Young Reader's title, Color Your Life with Crystals, actually came out simultaneously the same year, exactly the same birthday, if so to speak, you know, like the launch date or the actual pub date, April 1st, 2013.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Chakra Awakening came out 2 years prior, April 1st, 2011. And then I'm working on a book on aromatherapy and vibrational healing that will, I think it's going to come out in 2016. I have to have it to the publisher by December. But I'm going to make the correlation with the essential oils, with the astrological and planetary vibration as well.
I wanted to ask you, I read about, would you say aromatherapist? I mean, I know.
Yes, I am. Okay, so, an aromatherapist.
That's fascinating. So do you make your own particular, oils for a particular person that might have some needs going on that,
Don't do it personalized. I do it more on a larger scale, planetary-wise. I do make blends, but I don't do like private sessions to come up with a blend for a given person. I have my own brand of essential oils.
You have a brewing pot and stirring. No, I think it's great I wanted to talk to you about the aromatherapy part of it too, because I was reading about that on your site and that, so how does that work? Can you explain to everybody how that, your book's coming out, how are you coordinating that together with the stones?
How does what work? How does it work in relation to the gemstones?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
What I do is I like to make gemstone tinctures or gemstone essences is what I should really call them. Gemstone essences, which is using the vibrational essence of the stone by placing them in water and some alcohol and also adding to it holy waters and sacred site essences and coming up with what I call a gemstone essence. And then I include that in my essential oil blends because the essential oils they all vibrate at a certain rate and have certain intended purposes on a physical level. But just like stones, they also have an energetic signature or digital signature that has to do with the mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies as well. So I like to integrate, I call it aroma energetics, and that's part of my brand. And I have a whole line of throat chakra spray, all the chakra sprays, and smudge and spray is my number one bestseller nationwide and into Europe. It's even being distributed in Europe, and sage and cedar spray is like pretty simple, but there's Mother Mary spray and Archangel Michael and Raphael. And the part that is so amazing about all these synergies or blends is that I would say 99% of the formulas come to me through divine inspiration, which I'm very grateful for. So I say they're mine, but I always hear in the back of my head them reminding me, we gave you that formula.
That's great. Well, I found that really interesting. I like how you said they call them the three. What did you say? The three...
The aroma energetics. I don't know what.
Yeah, you just said you had a word for it. You had the you had some holy water, the waters and the.
The gemstone tinctures and holy waters and sacred site essences. So, would you like to know a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, so the holy water. So, okay, a little backstory is I was born and raised Catholic, and I didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. No pun intended, but I guess it is a good pun. Because I had a mom that was always putting holy water on us when we were sick or if things were going weird or, having challenges. So holy water was something that I would collect when I would travel. If I went to a church, which when you go to Europe, you go to churches a lot to see the beautiful artwork and such. So I was collecting holy water from a very young age, and I've always kept holy water around. And then I also started taking people on sacred sites tours throughout England and Peru and Mexico and in Europe, and, you know, well, I didn't really take them. Yeah, France, that's Europe. And so we went on these sacred sites journeys, and I still collected holy waters. And if there wasn't holy water to collect, I would make it. I would make it at the sacred site. So, you know, whether it was chalice well water, which is right there and coming out of a spigot in Glastonbury, or if I was at a church that didn't had a dry, you know, font, I would create it by intention using gemstones, and I came with my bottles. I brought empty amber bottles with me, and I would infuse it with prayer. We often did toning or some kind of energy work, and then I would bottle it up and take it with me. And I have it from all over the world. Then people started giving me holy water. And so what the combination of this is that, you know, we're always doing things to get rid of negative energy. We're always trying to, like, clear, and that's great. But some of the things that we forget is that we want to infuse ourselves with blessings and love and replace all the negativity with goodness and well-being. And filling ourselves back up with that vibrational force helps to amplify, garner our energy up to a point that the negative energy can have as much of an impact. Even when it's intended to have an impact, it can't affect us quite as much because we have, let's say, shored up our energy field. So that's what my intention is with this show, all the sprays that I create. They all have positive thought forms attached to them. They all, and it says it right on the label, so, you know, the client who's using it doesn't have to figure out, I don't know what to do with this. It tells them right on the label and gives them an affirmation or a positive energy. So did that explain it well enough?
No, absolutely. And I was raised Catholic as well. And I do still have, I put holy water on before the show. I put it all over my, I always tell people, run into my burning. If you're not a good person, burn. You know, I know about the holy water. But I think that's so absolutely fantastic that you were so, I don't know, connected to that holy water and how you now brought it to, it works for me. It works for me. And no, you're right about that. People that smudge, a very dear friend of mine who I worked with at one time, she said, you know, there's one thing about smudging, but you need to also burn sweetgrass after you're through to bring in the, after you get the name, bring in the positive. So what you're saying is very similar, but not doing the smudging and the sweetgrass. But it's very important because most people want to get rid of all that negative, but you have to bring in intention of the positive. Is that what... Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, even my smudge and spray, my you know, the Crystal Garden brand smudge and spray, which is over 10 years old now. I think it's about 11 and a half years old. It's even sold in Whole Foods throughout Florida. That's how popular it is.
Wow.
Yeah, that is great. Thank you, Whole Foods, something. For carrying my product. But it's at all many grassroots, you know, metaphysical shops around the country. You know, so if anybody wants any, go to your local bookstore and they'll probably have it. And if not, they can easily get it because it's distributed through major chain, you know, major distribution channels. But at any rate, the point what I'm really making is that smudge and spray, when I created it, it was mostly for my own benefit because I did a lot of medicine circle teachings, and I would burn sage at the beginning to call in the seven directions and create a ceremonial circle of goodness, you know, based on Native American type spirituality. And it started to affect my respiratory system, and I would often sing as part of the beginning of the ceremony, and I couldn't breathe. So I thought, I've been playing with essential oils for a gazillion years. Now I should just make myself a smokeless version. So when I created it, I created it so that there's oils in it that are for clearing, but there's also oils in it that bring in blessings and love. And I, of course, have the sacred site essences and holy waters in there. And that changes the vibrational structure of that. And it's very powerful. I mean, people really love it. And it's almost like sometimes I think they're a little addicted to my smudge and spray.
Actually, I like that idea because a lot of people, like my mother, has problems with their chest or, you know, can't breathe very well. And, you know, That's the thing. You know, I didn't even know about this. I didn't even know that they had. I'm glad you informed me. I'm happy to say right there, I got some information because that is a great idea. In fact, I wanted to talk about it. So when you choose a crystal or people want to infuse them, is that what they would get? I mean, that's just as good. I smudge mine, for instance, with all the smoke.
You can use smoke. You can use the sage and sage and cedar or just sage to clean it. And also the breath, you know, I was blessed to have the opportunity to, believe it or not, for a weekend, a long weekend, train with Marcel Vogel and his intention and the way that he worked with clearing crystals was to use the pulsed breath and the intention to clear the crystal. And that works because one part of that's fabulous is you don't have to buy anything.
Yeah.
You have your breath. And if you don't have your breath, then you don't need to clear anything.
Yeah, with those Vogel crystals, I mean, they're fabulous, but they're quite, you know. Well, I interviewed someone years and years ago that worked with, yeah, those are pretty high end.
Right. But you don't have to have a Vogel crystal to use the way I'm talking about.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, this is about clearing. So if you were to hold any kind of gemstone, or if you didn't even hold it, if you wanted to clear a room, you form whoever forms an intention to clear, let's say, a room or a gemstone or your ring or whatever it is you want to clear. And as you bring the breath up and in, you form an intention, and I'm putting my fingers on my third eye center as I'm speaking here. You put all of your attention behind the center of your forehead and form a very strong intention that you're going to clear. And then you pulse the breath through the nose forcefully. You just like really blow out forcefully and then clear the space with your intention. And he did some really good, profound tests to document that the space changed significantly in a positive way after using that clearing method, more so than other techniques.
Yeah, you're absolutely true. I remember, well, from what I recall, he was something else. But you know, I wanted to go back a moment because I did want to ask you this, and I didn't do so. But jewelry, you know, fashion. If you don't mind, I want to touch base with this.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we're going to take a short commercial, a 1 minute commercial, 1 minute commercial.
Okay.
From our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. But we'll be right back, and maybe when we come back, we can talk about that. Okay. So 1 moment, please.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back, and we're talking to Margaret about all about crystals. But Margaret, would you mind if we, touched on the jewelry, the fashion, because it for men and women, and even their animals, I know, have fashion of made from gemstones and, well, maybe even diamonds. But I mean, could you talk a little bit about that, because you're as a color expert. And how do colors, when we wear in our fashion and choices, reveal about our personality, along with what jewelry we might, you know, fuse together with that?
Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite subjects. You know, I love to observe fashion. I'm not very fashionable in my own dress, I don't think. But, you know, I love couture and watching that in the red carpet and watching all that. But for the most more ordinary daily days of our lives here on the planet, we all get up in the morning and kind of know the course of our day or how we want our day to go. We know if we're going in to an office or if we're having to interact or make a presentation. And, you know, so many different things that we have that we may be working on a creative project. And by understanding and knowing color, you can really direct the course of your day. You can use it with intention and making that positive thought form attached to that color and that gemstone, whether it's in your jewelry or your ring or your bracelet or even costume jewelry. So I'm going to give a really quick overview, if I may, on the colors yes. and then how they associate. Is that good?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So, and this is relation to the energy centers of our body, which is very thoroughly explained in my first book called Chakra Awakening. So at the first chakra, which is energetic, is the energy that's basically at the root or the base of the spine, all the way down to below the soles of the feet. That energy is red, but it's also black, browns, grays, and metallics. So this red energy, which is just going to be easier to explain this, red energy is really good for health and vitality and lots of energy and passion for life and being motivated. So, and there's so much more, but you just even using that, if you're having a day that you wake, I mean, you are feeling exhausted. You are pooped. You're a pooped puppy. And so you need more energy. So that's the day that you might want to pick a garnet ring or a red jasper bracelet or put on your red suit or your red shirt, red socks, which not maybe all of those things, because then you might get a little angry because red is also associated with anger. Yeah. So, you know, if on the you know, using the counter contraindication, or let's say the complementary color, if you are having a time of it in life when you're more frustrated and more angry, you want to envelop yourself in blues and greens to calm down that inflamed state of consciousness. So blues and greens, you could wear, of course, blue clothing and or like lapis lazuli ring that day, or you can put on maybe a blue lace agate that's also going to help you calm down but have good communication skills, or a piece of turquoise, and so on. So that, you know, just as an overview. And then, of course, just to go quickly through each of the colors, the orange energy, which is located at the navel, or some people call it the sacral chakra, that energy is really good about being motivated and moving forward and taking action on your creative projects. So if you've been procrastinating about something that you keep saying, someday I'm going to, whatever that going to do is, and you start the process by maybe carrying your carnelian or wearing a carnelian bracelet. I have a really pretty carnelian ring that I like to wear, or, you know, wear, you know, I joke around and say, if you don't look good in orange, get some orange underwear, you know. And then
right.
The idea is that go ahead.
No, I said that's right.
It is. And so the idea is that it's not the color that's going to actually make it happen. It's not the gemstone that's going to abracadabra make something happen. It's the thought form or intention, the positive thought that you have, that you're using it in conjunction with that. So every time you see the orange or you see that red or whatever color you're using, you remind yourself, it's a reminder to put your attention back on what you do want versus what you don't want, because that's how we create our reality, is focusing on our thought, whatever our thoughts are. That's why worry and thinking about negative stuff just amplifies more negative stuff. It really does. And so, you know, when we go to the yellow energy at the solar plexus, that's for self-confidence and courage, a good citrine stone or a golden topaz. Yellow clothes, get some yellow flowers, maybe put sunflowers on your desk. The green and pink at the heart chakra center, that's you know, I'm really into green and pink together lately, magenta especially right now for me. And this is just the vibration of love and more love and compassion and kindness to ourselves and others. And so if you're having a day that you need more nurturing, wear some green or pink clothes or both. Do it as a color combo, or get your emerald ring out or a rose quartz bracelet, you know. And then at the throat chakra, if you have to make a presentation that day and you're really nervous about speaking in front of other people, well, maybe that's the day you want to wear an aquamarine necklace at your throat or your turquoise necklace that you have or a bracelet, or wear a turquoise shirt, you know. And then the third eye center is an indigo, which is like a navy blue, purple, purpley blue coloring, as well as white. You know, now the upper three chakras, you get into more like higher vibrational, you know, higher frequency. And that is, you know, when we want to really get our intuition to work better, when we want to acknowledge our own well-being and our ability to connect with the divine. And the same with the white, the color white is crown chakra and the halo that's around our head. And that's when we want to remember that we have a divine spark within us, just every single one of us. So that's my really speedy version of that.
No, I love that. I love that. In fact, a lot of people I've noticed may not even know. You said public speakers. You said turquoise or their throat for talking.
Yeah, and, a throat and pastel blue. So.
Yeah, that's lovely. In fact, I have a very dear friend who's a public speaker, you know, does keynote speaking. And it's a woman friend, and it's interesting because I don't know if she's even noticeable, but I notice there's a lot of turquoise sometimes, beautiful turquoise. Not all the time, but I was just reflecting on that when you were talking about that. I wonder, you know, maybe it just comes naturally sometimes. Because a lot of people don't know, maybe, well, they should read those books, you know, because they may not know much, but maybe they just know what they need. And they also can spread the love, spread the energy out in the world. Like you said, it's deliberate attraction, by wearing these things. That's important. You know, it's like anything else, the power of the voice or verbalizing, but what you're putting on your body and the color of the fat. I love that. And everybody listening, that makes a lot. Of course, that makes sense. And for healing or whatever, but also it does attract, it puts out there and helps you share it with others as well.
Yeah. Like if you know you have to interact with somebody who's an angry and challenging individual, that might be the day to wear like your cobalt blue or navy blue. And I'm very, you know, hot-blooded, intense person. And even with all my meditation work, even with all this work that I do, that's just part of my nature. I'm pretty, you know, intense. And I wear a lot of cobalt, you know, because my intention is always love, but I can be intense. So I know that I need to temper that, you know.
I like that. Or you're too intense, you know, whatever. He's like, but I love how you just say you embrace it. I am intense, and that's okay. But cobalt, so cobalt blue, cobalt blue color is what you're saying. And the stone, I forget what the stone is. There's
lapis lazuli, sodalite, right? Sapphires.
Sapphires, of course, the love of my life. But yeah, but also, you know, like the grounding stone, I don't know, you know, hematite.
Yes.
I love touching that stuff. I love touching that stone, but I have some things made of that. And I do find that I wear it when I really, I know I meditate, I can't ground myself enough, you know, but that, it does feel good. And I don't know, what do you think about that stone? A lot of people know, or kids might like that a lot too, but what do you think about it? I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on that, because
it's a favorite, right? That is such a popular stone. Is. We can barely keep it in stock. We have quite the collection of hematite rings. We just keep them at the front counter. I mean, because people wear them to help with stress, you know. So it's a great stone for stress reduction, lowering blood pressure, hyperactivity, anxiety, frustration. And so it's good for, and I really dislike this label, but I'm going to use it just for our definition purposes, but ADD, ADHD type personalities.
Right.
It's Very helpful for that. And then, you know, sometimes when people are really excitable, you know, against people are, you know, or children, let's say children, when they come into the store, they're more often than, and I'm using my store as an example because it's a public place. But when they go out, sometimes they can act up and be excitable, you know. And so, although most of the time in the store, they're very, very good, but on occasion, you know. And that has really helped them be focused and grounded. And I just let them play with it. I there are times that the mother or father or caregiver is trying to shop and the kids are kind of, you know, getting a little crazy. Just give them a couple pieces of hematite. Tell them, here, sit here with this bowl and have a good time.
No, I think it's better. It's like being in a candy store, but a better thing in your store. I'm sure I'd love to be in your store. I mean, come on. And I know the bowls you're talking about, the stones, I have to replenish mine. In fact, I've run out. I used to buy as many different ones as I could, in whoever I might read for back in the day in person. Things are all over the internet now, but I'm kind of by my, but I would, whatever I had a feeling of somebody I didn't know, you know, just go, here, this is for you, take this or take these. I always like to have something. I don't know certain ones.
Aww, and that's very generous.
No, but it's good for me to do that as well. And it always felt so right. It wasn't like I go, oh, I just want to be really cool. I always felt like sometimes I really like it. I go, you know, I think, you know, my feeling is you need this right now. Whether I, you know, who do I think I am? But still, maybe, I don't know. They were either they were fusing towards it, I would notice, or just felt right. And then I'd run after them and go, give that back. No, no, I wouldn't do that. But I do like for heal, you know, of course, rose quartz and chill. But, you know, you talk about children. They get their imagination. You said they like the colors, you know, the ones that the stones that they gravitate towards are the, you know, the rocks. And their imagination is all about that. I think it's so beautiful, really.
Really? Well, and that's the key to our own, you know, success in the world and intuition is to use our imagination as if we have still the imagination of a child.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. You know, I remember a long time ago, and I don't know if you run into this, but, you know, explain, that's why I think this book, the book you wrote geared towards children was so fantastic, because it reminded me one time I had given innocently some stones to this. She was like my godchild. This was in the 80s. I didn't tell her they were magic and everything in life was going to be, you know, unicorn. You know what I mean? I gave them to her.
And unicorn and rainbows.
I didn't say, oh, she's going to turn into a little, you know, cute fairy. But the thing is, her mother had problems suddenly out of the blue with me, out of ignorance, because she lost some stones. They were just stones. I mean, they were stone. But because I told her they were magic, I said, hey, I said these stones were not magic. I said they will make you feel deeply about lovely things in life. You know, their color. I was trying to, you know, express myself. I wasn't doing anything. But it's like a dress. A kid will, you know, lose her dress or whatever. But she went ballistic. A little girl acted like a little girl. She thought, oh, my God, they're magic, and they're gone. I mean, do you find that maybe, you know what I mean? You said something earlier about that. It's not like they're magical. I don't know how you put it. I liked it.
Well, it's not going to abracadabra. I think that's what I said. You know, it's not like, oh, you hold a rock and all of a sudden everything's, you know, peaches and cream. It's not automatic. The crystal or gemstone was going to amplify your intention of why you purchased it or why you're carrying it. And so that's the magic. It's the magic within ourselves. It's our own personal power to stay focused on our true intention and our heart's desire and the magic of imagination and believing. That's where the magic is.
And that is so magical in children. And I just applaud the fact that you wrote this great book. And like I said, I don't know if there's a lot of books there like that book, but when I ran across it, it really caught my eye because I thought, how cool is that, you know? Plus, I was reading some of it but I thought, how cool is that? Because it was really lovely to see. I don't know, is there many books out there that are geared at the younger group.
No, that's why I wrote it, because that little boy, when I did that research for him to try to find him a book, you know, order one for him,
right,
wasn't one. That's what made me do it. So it's basically the young reader's version of my first book, which is Chakra Awakening. That's the bestseller. Mm-hmm. That's now in 5 languages already.
Oh, that's right. I read that. I'm sorry. I didn't touch on that. But you have great. I mean, look at you have people back. You're fantastic. I mean, I know that you had. I didn't know Chakra Awakening. So that book was your very first, the very first book that you.
It was. Yeah, I'm very grateful. I got that came out so good. You know, that right out of the. You know, what is that expression?
There's something about like a horse.
Right out of the gate.
The horse is out of the gate. Kentucky Derby. Well, you know, I think it's lovely. So I have a little bit of time here. I wanted to ask you about, I love the cards, the deck.
Thank you. The Angels and Gemstone Guardians deck. Right?
Right, that's the one. Could you tell us a little bit about you? So that was that the most recent thing that you? Well,
it is. Right. This is what happened was my first deck, which is now in limited edition and almost sold out. It was so popular, and I sold over 6,700 copies on my own since 2011. That FinTorn Press wanted to pick up my you know, and do the reprint, and we re-established it. It came out better. Now the new deck is with the upgraded, gorgeous photographs that you'll find in the Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones, and the Color Your Life with Crystals. So we used those photographs, which are gorgeous. And then the artwork was redone, so the graphic work was redone, but the words are the same, and the content. So like on one side of the card is a beautiful divine guidance that's giving some kind of divination, let's say, and a little bit of guidance to go with the gemstone. So you learn about the gemstone in that case, and then when you flip it over, on the other side of the card is an affirmation from an angel that's giving you a positive thought form to focus on to overcome any challenges that you might have, you know, came across on the front side of the card.
How lovely is that? That's lovely.
I think it's pretty cool.
No, absolutely. So it's gotten very good, very well received, and people are very well. You know, I saw it. It was very lovely. I have not seen it. Physically, or that's a word I'm looking for. You know how you walk into the store and physically, I really would like it. It looks like a very great gift that I could give to a family member who is an angel practitioner.
Good. That's a great idea.
I think it's fantastic.
There is a YouTube little preview of it that you can see. Where do I have it? I feel like I have it on one of my website. It might be on my homepage. On the bottom.
YouTube,
and they if they go to margaretamlembo.com,
right.
I think. Is that where it is?
Yes,
no,
I did see it there, but also on your YouTube channel, because I found a video you about a lot of great. You're talking about crystals a little bit. On your YouTube channel, everybody. You just type in your name, it's there. You find it. You have great videos, as a matter of fact. I like them. And I used one up for the show page. And,
I saw that. That was a great idea. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to know, can we only have a few more minutes? Is there anything coming up that you would like to talk about? I mean, this book that's coming out in 2016, you did bring that up. But, I want to go back for just a second with, you know, the book and the deck. Is that very easy going for anybody? It wouldn't be intimidating. It's not like the tarot. It's something that's very kind and
very easy,
and warm.
you just shuffle it. It's very lovey. The pictures are pretty. Everything's very, very nice. You just shuffle the deck, pick a card, and it's an inspiration for the day. It's very good.
It's nice. So you can use it as a divination, but also it's lovely little message. But you have incorporated the angels. You know, the angel
gives you the message. So like, here's angel light. I'll give you an example real quick.
Okay.
The angel light card. Are you receiving intuitive messages? Do you wish to be more intuitive? Quiet your mind. Accept communication from angels and spirit guides. True communication includes listening, speaking, and observing. Notice messages from nature and your surroundings. And then you turn it over, and the angel of communication says, this is your affirmation. I send and receive messages with ease and grace. Guidance and inspiration from my angels and other spirit guides come to me moment by moment. I interpret the messages I receive and apply them to my life with wisdom.
That's lovely, and that's really nice, and that is very welcoming, you know, to be able to, that just feels really warm and welcoming and very, very clear, not intense, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to tell everybody too, I'd love to go to your shop physically, yeah. But I guess I could, you know, look, but you're located in Florida.
And right, Boynton Beach, Florida.
Yeah, I bet it's a great store too. Anybody out there? Anyway, you know, I do also want to say that I really appreciate you joining us, but you do also have you're a recording artist. My gosh, you're a busy one. And so you have audio CDs and also releasing 2015, new CD releasing March. Yeah.
I am. Fintorn Press is publishing a new CD called Chakra. Balancing crystal alignment, and it's going to be instructional but also a guided meditation to do your own laying on of stones on your physical body. It's really nice.
That sounds so lovely. It sounds so not intimidating, I guess, and so more authentic to be able to. I love it. I'm really looking forward. I'm going to check that out because that sounds very friendly to do and not be. There's some things that are just a little bit hard for some. You myself to approach, it's just too intense. But you're very just straight and forward. I love it. I really appreciate you joining us tonight, Margaret.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I really do appreciate it. And you just keep getting those things out. You're busy and never going to breathe. But I feel you're helping a lot of people and to understand things that most times, sometimes they may not want to approach because there's just too much stuff. But you are very clear and it's very calming and it's very warm and welcoming the way you explain
something. Good. That's what I want. I want people to remember the love that they are and that's mm-hmm. what their true nature is love and well-being.
Yes, and you have. So thank you so much, Margaret, and I hope you enjoy your evening, the rest of the evening if you're in Florida. Enjoy that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's lovely to be speaking with you. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great night and weekend.
Thank you. You too. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much for that awesome interview, Maureen. Find out more about Margaret and Limbo at MargaretAndLimbo.com, and that's L-E-M as in Mary, B as in boy, O.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't make it to last week's show, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our goal to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link with others. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything pertaining to the paranormal, everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic on that site has a detailed profile for you to find out more about her or him. You can choose from a list of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Dog and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. Also, we're proud to bill ourselves as a scam-free zone. Honesty is one of our biggest strengths. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Maureen.
Oh, thank you so much. When you do that, I am sorry. I almost get mesmerized when you do that. It's like back somewhere. I'm like, woo, where was I? Woo, I was on some like lovely little holiday, and you're back to it's, you. It's nice. It's a compliment.
It's my way of rolling out the red carpet to you, Maureen, to thank you for such an awesome interview.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just kind of putting my makeup on, looking around. Like back to what? Back to me. Anyway, thank you, Steve, and very much for that. back to me.
My pleasure.
So the banter is now, it's the time of our bantering. And, you know, I really enjoyed her. She just sent an email to me just now, immediately. And she said, thank you so much. I really enjoyed being on your show. It's really nice when guests do that because it's very nice. We like that. And she was easygoing. And I really liked her straightforwardness. It was refreshing because, you know, we can get into pretty intense things here. Vogel Crystals, for one, and I have done an interview with. One of his associates, Marcel Vogel, is no longer with us on this planet, but on this earth plane. And it can get really intense, but she's pretty, you know, it's kind of cool. I like, she's put a lot of, you know, books out and such, but she's a, you know, has a great store. I would love to go in that candy store of hers. But, you know, it's really nice to be able not to feel intimidated by, you know, if someone goes, well, what are these little stones? If someone's real into the stones of the Vogels, which I love, everybody. But, you know what, Stephen, do you know about Vogel crystal? Vogel crystals.
Are you familiar? I do not. I'm not. Well, there's so much I need to learn about this world.
I can't believe it. Well, you can read it. We have an archive.
This is definitely an area.
Well, on the show we have here on the archive, you just go ahead and you listen to that interview, and it's called Vogel Crystals. Anyway, it was nice listening about the children, and I think it's so nice because, like I said, I had a bad experience with this child, and the mother was furious, and she was into crystals too. I didn't make a big ordeal, like, why should I? If she hurt and lost a darn dress, she'd be crying too. You know, it wasn't, they weren't mad. She goes, oh no, you made her believe that they were magic. I mean, she was really upset thinking I'd done wrong. I was like, oh my gosh. It was like anything else. So she made a big deal out of it. But now it's kind of nice for children. You know, they go in the store, like she said, and they're looking around. They like the ones that aren't really, really cool, the real, real crystal type, more colorful, but the imagination's all wrapped up in their mind. I think that's so nice. I love that. And this book, you guys should go check it out. It's, you know, I don't have any grandchildren, right? I don't think you guys do either. But, you know, if you have any nieces or nephews that are young, I think it'd be a great gift to get a, you know, a little bit older kid, like 10 to 12. It's a fantastic book. Children really like it. And I think it's nice for them to connect. You know, there's other little things to them. Instead of going too woo-woo, I'd get them a, you know, unicorn pony. I don't know. She's great. But, you know, she, you know, like I said, I think I told you she has, she's one of the, you know, authors for, what is it, I put it in there. You read that, Stephen, didn't you?
Yeah, she's so expert on so many things, aromatherapy.
Yeah. And she has big publishers backing her, which is fantastic. And she has a great store. What a nice, I always wanted a nice, lovely gemstone store. I would just the aromatherapy and everything. So I don't know. And she didn't touch much. She couldn't touch much on a lot of things, but you being an astrologer, I think you'd go crazy with this, learning about this and connecting it with some of what you and Steve, actually, Steve, I don't know what you feel about that. You know, the stones are connected to planets. You guys, what do you think about that?
Absolutely. It's a huge component of astrology because it serves a remedial function, like a remedy. You know, for if someone has a deficiency of some planet energy or an excess of some planet energy, then, you know, one can use crystals associated with that planet or a counterbalancing planet and, you know, work with the imbalance. You know, that seems to be the theory coming from the ancient world.
Well, yeah. So do you actually, there's sense to that. I mean, planets or rocks? No, yeah. But, you know, do you find it, do you utilize that? And I know, like, the other sciences I'll use in my tarot, like numerology and astrology to a point, too. But do you ever?
Oh, for sure. I do it all the time. Absolutely.
Crystals? crystals?
Well, with crystals, with anything pertaining to that planet. It could be incense or oils, foods, anything and everything pertaining to that. For example, I had a client recently who had an excess of Venus energy. It was kind of rancid and bad Venus energy manifesting in substance abuse, promiscuity, illicit behavior with other people's money and funds and things of that nature. And, you know, the remedy or the suggestion was to, get Venusian stones and Venus stones, Venus crystals, Venus essences and oils and incense.
That were associated, you mean, with Venus. Like Venus has certain stones, of course, is what you're saying, that are associated with it, for instance.
Sure. Let's try to raise all the vibrational field of this native,
If there's too much, let's try to diffuse it. I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I mean, I know people do, but I didn't know about what you guys and I haven't forgotten you, Nona. You know, I haven't forgotten you. But Steve, I wanted to know about you. Do you ever talk about the crystal associations with astrology? Because you guys are, the astrologists. So
I do. I think what's very fascinating is that the energies are all correlated. So you can choose a planet or a sign of the zodiac and then map out all of the things that resonate to the same frequency, and that would include certain crystals, even flowers, herbs,
right,
numbers, musical notes, you name it. So it's very, very interesting. It's an extremely interesting field, and I think that the study of alchemy and crystals in the context of alchemy is extremely interesting. But I believe that crystals are conscious. They're a less sophisticated form of consciousness than human consciousness, but they are conscious nonetheless. And then you have the plant kingdom that's even more conscious than the animal kingdom. And we claim to be the ultimate in the animal kingdom. But when I watch the news, I'm not so sure about that.
I think we're
the worst thing to happen to this planet.
I think I was watching a thing. I make my face look right. If I say, Neanderthals, those ones. If I put my face and mouth just right, I can say it perfectly. The Neanderthals, those people.
Yes.
And it fascinates me about, I just watched it the other night. I was fascinated, but what happened then? But I think we're kind of been spit out a little bit. I'm just joking. But, crystals also have plants. I have a crystal. Well, I had a crystal. Like I said, I picked, but I didn't want it. And it was a record keeper, they called it. I didn't know what the stupid thing was. It became one of the most unbelievable open sources of much knowledge for years later to come, that I found out more and more about crystals. But my gosh, crystals powered Atlantis. Crystals were in everything. They're in, IBM, the Bogle crystal. He worked for IBM. And also, everything is. But there, I have a crystal also that... So that was a record keeper that held records, they say, from the ancients, right? And it was time to leave the person it was supposed to be. It would just go, and it was interesting. That's exactly how it left. It came to me in an odd way, and it left in a very odd way. I can't explain it. And I was, blown away thinking these things are just silly. Crystals are just a big fad.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting that you say that the crystal just came to you and it disappeared. Crystals come to me like that. People gift me crystals, and I give away a lot of crystals as well. And it's interesting because I have a healing center, and we have a really beautiful crystal collection. And you can see the most beautiful crystal sitting there, and you think, why on earth hasn't someone snapped that up? It's amazing, and it'll sit there. You can see people drawn to it, and they'll look at it, and they'll touch it, they'll pick it up, and they admire it, but they don't buy it.
Right.
And then it could be there for months, and then all of a sudden someone comes in and you just know that crystal is almost waiting for that person.
It's really
very
weird.
Interesting.
I always thought it was silly until the thing happened to me, and I was so cynical, and I was so rude to this poor guy in his van with all these crystals of trays. Hippie guy. I'm a hippie girl. But I was like, yeah, I want that one way, but let me see that when I was really being troublesome. I'm not like that. And you know what? I go, I'm getting this for a friend, and they're silly. Just give me that one way back there. And it was this record keeper, and I ended up keeping it. I never gave it to anybody. It was mine. I was blown away, as can be. And I was like, that's when I opened up to all this insight on it. I have a crystal I'm holding right now that actually is a healer crystal. It heals itself. I don't know if she knows. I mean, it's interesting. They'll heal. It's amazing. And so I don't know. Maybe they're higher up in the chain consciousness than we realize. I don't know.
I think the planets certainly are. The planets have a consciousness that's far more evolved than human consciousness. And look at the way we treat our planet.
Yeah, but you know, these record keepers, people putting little records in for people to get some information, the right ones will have. So that's what I found. I didn't know record keeper from nothing. And it's like, oh my gosh, I was seeing these things being carved and nobody was there. And it's like, whoa. And you know what? That is very interesting. The whole, I'm not saying I believe in anything, you know, I know just what I know, but it made sense because they do keep information. I mean, Nona, don't you think they're informative? They keep a little information for us to hear later.
Crystals? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's they're amazing. Phenomenal.
They're absolutely lovely. I'm echoing. I'm sorry. Can you hear that?
No echoing. Sound
just
good.
Just on my end. That's great. Good for you guys. Well, have you ever had any cool relationships with crystals? No. Can you tell us about any interesting? Do you work with crystals? Do you?
Well, you know, they're also part of the Ayurvedic tradition, which is 10,000-20,000 year old Vedic astrology and working with gemstones to offset bad planetary influences. So I've been aware of them and I guess worked with them since the 70s, and I just find them absolutely phenomenal. I can't say enough good about them. I think they're really amazing. I looked up Vogel while you were talking about Vogel crystals, and I'd never actually heard that term, though I had seen, I worked with an osteopath back in the 70s who had what he called a medical grade quality crystal.
Oh, yeah.
He never let anybody touch because it would ruin the vibration, and he rarely brought it out because he could lose his license back then for doing crystal work as a doctor of osteopathy. And he undid chakras with that, and it was just breathtaking. My whole world shifted when he did that, and I think that was my first introduction to crystals was having that from a medical doctor. That just cracked me up. It was amazing.
Well, you know, if anybody wants to know, there is a show, and I did many years ago, with Marcel Vogels. It was an associate. Like I said, Marcel Vogel, he's no longer with us, but he, his name is Ron Carr. He went by his regular name because he's pretty cool type of gentleman. And so he's carried on, and no one else in the world can see, actually, if it's a Vogel crystal snap. It was a great interview, and it was a long time ago. Yeah. I had no clue about this, but he was talking about the days when him and Marcel, you know, they were very close. He was like his mentor, Marcel Vogel was his mentor. And then I was listening also. I had no idea about some of this stuff, and it was amazing that a lot of real doctors, I'm sure, the regular doctors we call them, you know, not the, yeah, normal MDs, whatever, but there are a lot of people that use them to healers that are very high-end. Lydia, high-end healer. Hey, I'm a high-end, I'm sorry. I am a, you know, Beverly Hills Plastics. No, but, you know, they do, they're very important. They have them precise for that, what they're using them for. And they're not to be messed with, like, because they're actually quite something. Like you're saying, there's a, there, you know, you're talking about what I heard you say, it was not appropriate to be, you know, you said something about the legal aspect or something. They're so intense, and they only are cut by, if anybody ever wants to listen, I guess they were called the Marcel Vogel. It's from 2 years ago, but go check out the archives. You might want to listen to it. It was quite interesting. Everybody listening too, but because he worked closely, and he said, and everybody will say they're not Marcel Vogel crystals, but they put in orders for like sometimes in months and months or up to a year in advance for certain people that need them for certain healing practice or whatever. You know, they're not, there's something else. I mean, how powerful is that? However, Atlantis was very powerful. I think those crystals are pretty ruling. I just fascinates me how they grow. I mean, I have a healer. It's always healing. It's constantly, it cracks me up. It will be cracked and it's, and then it'll be smoothed out. I'm like, what up with this? And little new ones are coming out. I'm like, you know, I've had it for 20 years. This one, you trip me out, Rock. So I guess, you know, and some of them have the dark little specks of earth in it, you know, whatever, How does that work? I mean, come on, you guys. What up with that? I just feel they've always are so fascinating. But I like to be able to hear about people that can understand them, even the little gemstones and the rocks, and the pretty little things. And I do give my little rocks to people. And like I used to read, like I said, I go, oh, hematite. I could sleep in hematite. I love that stuff for me because I need it, you know. It helps me calm myself. And you know what those guys, Steven, do you know which stone I'm talking about, the hematite?
Mm-hmm. I have heard of it, yeah.
Oh, you got to feel that stuff. It just feels so good just to touch.
I don't like it.
Really? It's interesting. You know,
it's strange. It's I can't hold it. I just don't.
Hematite. It doesn't feel good. Yeah, hematite.
But it goes back again to your point before, Maureen, about the energies or the frequencies of different crystals, because what might be good for one person is not good for another. It may be really bad for that person.
Right.
And I think hematite resonates to Mars. Mars is my most challenging planet. So if you in effect had a challenging Mars in your chart, therefore the archetype of Mars is problematic for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you carry a crystal of that resonates to Mars, then it's going to augment that discordant energy, bring you discord in effect. And I think that it resonates to Mars. That's one of the reasons why when I hold it, I just want to put it down.
Oh, no, that makes some sense. That makes sense to me. I'm not saying I believe it, but that makes sense to what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense to what you're saying. And actually it being with Mars even more so. You know what? I have a beautiful from the 40s, my grandmother is a amber, you know, real amber, the soft, it's like from 1940.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. A big brooch. And it's from the 40s, so it's the real, you know, it's just gorgeous. But I read something about people that are depressed or want to do themselves in. It's for those people, it's really important for them to wear this. Like, okay, but it's beautiful. And I've had it as an original case. It's just gorgeous. And I still have it, you know, but it's spectacular. It's orange too. She's talking about orange panty, but you know, it's not like the amber they have now more so, but I say it's for people that are actually, you know, feeling the sense of, you know, not wanting to be around, or maybe that's a 40s thing, you know, when people, the actresses were kind of dramatic. I don't know. But I read something about that. What do you guys think about Anne?
I love it because it preserves things for a very long time. But I tell you what, before we get started about amber, I would love to put out an amber alert on this phone number for the call-in.
Amber alert.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time for the call-in number. So that number is 724-444-4851. Okay, I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call is automatically going to be placed on hold. You'll be able to hear the show while you're waiting, so you know you're not going to be lost in limbo, as it were. Once you get on the line, we encourage you to be as direct and pointed with your question as possible. Don't be scared to ask that very direct question. We prefer it. You know, is it going to happen or isn't it? Am I going to get this or am I not? Because we can only answer one question. So let's make it a good one. And we do this out of fairness to everybody waiting. So once again, that number is 724-444-4851. That's all I got for the time being, Maureen.
What was you going to say back to you, Mark?
Okay. I wanted to shake it up a little bit. Okay.
I had myself presented like the character. You remember like the Anchorman too? I love the guy. That movie,
yeah.
Anchorman. I had myself presented waiting to go. Oh yes, Steve. Thank you.
I'm
and
sorry.
You didn't do it. You didn't do
you
it.
Were
as well.
You're expecting the Cadillac, and I pulled up in a Pinto.
Yeah, I've exposed myself. I was like, thinking in my mind, I'm so immature, you know, I'm thinking like I'm a kid. I'm, you know, Will Ferrell, and I'm and now he's gonna say bad. And I'm just sitting here like, you know, my desk thinking, okay, wait for it, and it didn't happen. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I think I have a nervous breakdown because I'm so prepared. Listen, thank you, Stephen, for that information, and everybody, I hope you enjoyed listening to that, because yes, we do want to help each person and to be direct
actually,
in one question is the way you can do it. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. We have a call for Steve right now from Virginia.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
My name's Lakivia.
Hello, Lakivia. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you, Lukivia. It's good to speak with you. What's your question?
Well, I have a question regarding a legal issue I have coming up this month, and I'm wanting to see was the outcome going to come to my was going to be good in my favor, or can you tell me what's going to happen?
Honestly, Lukivia, you say you said later this month, but I don't feel it's closed out later this month. Is that when you're expecting it to be resolved, or when you're expecting it to kick off or be initiated?
Well, no, it's not. Well, actually, I'm trying to get for my child support case for my kids, and I'm trying to get my child support up so I can have daycare for my kids, so I can get it.
Okay.
I'd be able to afford daycare. So I'm trying to make sure it's going to work out in my favor because I need
okay.
to work.
Okay. Well, Lukivia, the first thing I sense, and I sense it quite strongly, is that it's not going to be resolved later this month. I honestly feel that it's going to take some more time, and I'm drawn to February. I'm drawn to the first half of February, so it's not as though it's late February or, you know, on off until spring, but just be aware it's not likely to be closed out or finalized as soon as the end of this month. The other thing I would say for you is your ex is not going to be straightforward about this. When I closed my eyes and listened to you ask your question, I was seeing quite aggressive images, and I feel that your ex is quite a fighter. You know, your ex wants to and tends to put up a fight, and I honestly, unfortunately, feel that he's still in a frame of mind in which he wants to use any opportunity he can to just cause you upset. So it doesn't feel amicable at all. And I feel that that's the reason it drags on. I also feel that you've got to watch out because he's quite unpredictable. He's quite an unreliable, unpredictable person. And even to the extent that, you know, he'll forget to provide information that he's asked for, or he'll forget a deadline, or he'll deliberately not turn up for something. So he's not a very disciplined character, and he's not afraid of messing around, even when it relates to a legal matter or the courts. So I feel that, from my guides, I feel that it's very important that you speak to your attorney about his character, explain the behavior, explain that he's likely to try and pull different tricks and weasel his way out of things, and he's going to be pretty determined to cause delays. I feel, as I said, it resolves itself in February. It does resolve itself in your favor. I feel that you'll get what you're asking for, more or less, maybe very slightly less, like 10% less than you're asking for. But overall, I feel that the judgment will be fair. You'll get what you'll be seen, you'll be taken care of. But remember who you're dealing with, and make sure your attorney's up to date with that, and be aware it's not likely to close itself out this month, so you may need to budget for a delay, okay?
Yeah, because I asked because he did lose, he's going to lose his job in January. That's why I asked, was it going to be favorable? Are they going to push it out or leave it the way it is and then wait until he get another job? Or that's why you say it's going to resolve in maybe February when he get another job?
Well, I don't feel that I think that there's definitely some complication between now and February, and so I don't feel it gets closed out to your satisfaction in between times or between now and February. Certainly not later this month.
So I think the smart thing for me to do is I could just cancel it maybe, and then just wait until he get another job maybe, and then go back when he got more income.
Well, honestly, I feel like you need to continue the process, but I feel like you've got to just really explain the circumstances to your attorney. As I said before, your attorney needs to know what's going on, what the potential changes are, what the risks might be, particularly with regard to his reliability and things like that. But I feel it resolves itself in February, more or less to your satisfaction, but I don't forget the feeling that you need to halt the process. Okay.
Okay, so I just let it chip fall where it may, and then it'll just get resolved maybe more in next year versus now.
Yes.
So
yeah. Just be aware it's not going to sort itself out quickly, and you've got to budget accordingly. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lakivia. Good luck with that. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Texas for Nona Marie.
Hello, Texas. Are you there?
Hi. Hi, yes. This is Lucy, and I would like to know where I most would be able to be helpful with my intuition as an intuitive.
Like what kind of work you might be able to do with your intuition?
Yes. Where would I be the best fit?
Good question. First of all, it feels to me like you also have a very grounded earth plane side to yourself, which is really good news. I like that. It also says to me that you can work in a wide variety of places. In other words, you can bring your intuition into areas of work without necessarily just having to work as an intuitive worker, if that makes sense. Like when I was a professor, I would often teach about readings and bring it into the classroom as well, so that people who normally don't get exposed to that can get exposed. And whereas people come to a reader, then very often they're already on board with readings. So I think that you have a real talent to kind of walk in both worlds. I would say also to you that if you work primarily as an intuitive reader, that you would get a little bit bored with that, honestly. So to me, it feels like you need to find a venue to do that that is related to something a little bit more structured in terms of healing. In other words, you could be an intuitive reader who also works with teaching people about angelic forces, so that you're not just dealing with human problems, you're also helping to teach people to find their own guidance. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
It feels to me like right now there's a partnership that will be available to you that actually feels like it's almost starting, if it hasn't already started, that will actually start to blossom around the holiday season towards the end of Christmas into the new year, that there is someone around you who is working either with a healing center or doing some kind of, I want to actually say something like acupuncture or Reiki, that you could begin a partnership with them and work in that venue for a while before going out on your own. And it feels that there is a benefit there for you to do that. So if you haven't met a person like that yet, I would start looking around you to see who is around you that is already working in the field, but in a way that's a little bit more structured as a healing art instead of just kind of a free-form healing art.
Yes, I have found that person. Her name's Diane, and she's a Reiki
excellent.
A Reiki healer.
Yes. Yeah. So she is your key right now, and I think it will be about a year before you really go off on your own. And I think you'll still kind of work with her for quite a while even after that, because she's a really good person. I'm not sure why you need that partnership, but I think there's something there about you learning about boundaries with dealing with humans that she'll be able to teach you. And also, there is something there about working with the human body that I think you haven't developed yet, that I think you're going to become very good at. Working with healing energies. It won't be Reiki. It will be your own system. But there's something that she's opening up for you, kind of like, I want to say, she's gone down that path before you, so somehow she's going to make the trail much easier for you. So I would say stick with her for a while. She's a good person, and you're not going to end up doing the same thing she does at all, but she is kind of your partner for now. Things will move rather quickly for you in this area, by the way. So I would say don't rush it. Slow it down, if anything, to make sure that you stay grounded and make sure that you understand the areas that you want to work in versus some of the areas that you could work in but will kind of disrupt you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. So, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling in, and good luck with your practice. I think you're right on the right track there.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Lucy, and thank you, Nona Marie, for that excellent reading. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. I now have a caller from California. Hello, California, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
So me and my husband would like to have another child, and
yes,
we were just wondering when do you see it happening, and if the labor will go smoothly, and if we get the dinner that we're wanting.
Ah, okay. One second here. Let's first of all just deal with when pregnancy might happen. Okay, because I can only take one question for because of time restraints. So shall we make that the one question? Is that the most important question you have? Okay. All right. One second while I pick up on this for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right, I'm showing that the pregnancy, there will be probably some delays with that. I mean, about as what I'm picking up here specifically is that there are just low energies of fertility. Now, that doesn't mean that you or your husband have fertility issues. All I'm saying, all I'm picking up on here is that the concept of fertility is just kind of at an ebb right now. However, I see that there are indeed children, but I would be surprised if they arrived before 12 months passes. I would be surprised about that. What I see very clearly, though, is that you have a strong marriage with your husband. This is going to perhaps help you become not only a good parent, but that it's just something solid you can rely on. It'll probably help the weight go by a little faster. And it's going to improve your marriage too, believe it or not, because you guys are waiting and trying for this, and that's going to be a unifying element in your marriage. And quite possibly from a spiritual perspective, this is why you're going through the delay as well. So I wouldn't worry about that so much, because the delay seems to be for the purpose of improving the marriage or bringing the marriage to a certain goal or for some other higher reason. And once this happens, there's definitely going to be a sort of a transformation or a changeover, sort of, so to speak, of energies or what have you, and things will start progressing forward. And I could be wrong. I mean, yes, ma'am.
We have three children already, but we would like another one. Because we only want four. But we wanted to kind of make them together.
Right. Well, you know, I'm thinking it might take about a year for that to happen. You know what I mean? I think it might take a year. I'm not sure that it would happen before 12 months passes. But, I mean, you know, it could. But I'm expecting on the longer side of things instead of on the shorter side of things.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a call now for Maureen from New Jersey.
Hello?
Okay, hold on.
I can take this, Stephen, if you would like.
Oh, very nice, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's calling from New Jersey?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, how are you doing?
Hi, good. I was calling to see if you see me getting into a relationship before it ends over. I'm sorry, before it ends over, before the year is over.
I feel drawn into next year, to be quite honest with you. I don't feel this year for you. I feel drawn towards very early spring. But, you know, it's always important that we choose the right relationship. So I'm a great believer in waiting and manifesting the right relationship rather than rushing. So honestly, I feel that you won't, but I do feel that the relationship you get into and enjoy in the springtime is a good relationship. I feel you being treated very well. I feel that in a previous relationship or previous relationships, you haven't been treated with the respect and the the tenderness that you deserve. And, you know, it's important that you are really clear in your mind about how you want to be treated in a relationship. So I feel that the person you meet is really, really nice person. I feel you are being full of smiles and a real spring in your step in May. And I feel that this person's got a beautiful smile. And really, this is somebody that will be so fond of you, so proud of you. This is somebody that will be so happy to be with you, and somebody that will put you first and treat you really well. This is also somebody that's very romantic, you know, that leaves little notes and cards and treats you to just little things that show you that you're being thought of, etc. So that's what I feel. I feel that strongly, and I keep on seeing roses, but I feel the name Rose. I'm not trying to look and see if you've got a rose in spirit, but I can see a grandmother who feels larger. Her figure's larger. She's not a slight figured person, but she's got very bright eyes, curly hair, darker hair. Always very nicely presented, really particular about her hair, very, very loving. And she comes with roses and she reminds you how important it is to choose a relationship with somebody that wants to give you roses, that wants to leave little notes, that really cherishes you. And that's what I feel for you, but don't rush it.
Okay. Well, a person has their own place, their own car, and their own job. Ooh, I hope so.
I do feel that this person is pretty well established, yeah. I don't feel that we're talking about somebody that's mega wealthy or mega ambitious, but somebody that's really loving and that is able to, you know, to provide for themselves and for you potentially as well. Okay?
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Steve, for that reading. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller now from Massachusetts for Maureen.
Can you hear me now? Oh, please say
yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. Hello, Massachusetts. This is Maureen. What can I help you with?
Yes. I wrote my answer letter in England. I want to know whether she would help me.
Okay.
I just want to help
Steven.
Me in my bad hand.
Steven, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you just said. Could you repeat that, please?
I said I wrote my aunt a letter. Will she respond back to me with the matter at hand?
Okay. I'm sorry. You said that you respond. Okay. You said that you can't. You're waiting for a response from.
I wrote a letter to my aunt.
Okay, a letter. Got it. Is this about the family? Family stuff you're talking about? Okay, I got it. I remember. I know what's going on. Okay, and you want to know if he'll respond?
If he would respond to me.
Okay, got it. I will check into that for you. And this is what I'm getting. First of all, I feel that unless there's somebody else that's giving him some advice or giving the advice of not wanting to respond. Do you follow me? Meaning, I don't feel it's all up to his. He's not making his own choices about things. My feeling is he's going to delay it because he's being advised to. For whatever his reasons are, that's exactly what's going on. And I do feel it's really not. It is what it is. But I do feel it'll work out. Someone's advising him, so he's going on that. But I do feel the next few weeks he'll be a little bit more detached on his own, and he will respond, but he won't do so right away. That's to be expected from what is going on with this family stuff, I feel. You'll be okay. I see within 9 weeks, things are going to start looking a lot better with this situation for coming up. A shift.
Okay.
A good shift. Okay? And I wish you well. Right. Just hang in there. I know it's been difficult. Okay?
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you, Maureen, for that reading. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com, and we have a caller now from Illinois for Nona.
Hello, Illinois. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Rosa.
Lompa?
Rosa, yes.
I love that name. What can I do for you?
I just recently connected with an old guy that I used to date, and I want to know if it's going to be a yay or a nay, or should I just move on to and live my life and find someone else.
And what's his first name?
Brian.
Brian. Well, I think you actually have a future with Brian. I think it's going to look a little bumpy. I think that you'll be kind of looking at it sometimes going, there's just no way that this is going to work out. You'll see too many obstacles and we'll be kind of looking down a long dirt road saying, I don't see it happening. And I think actually he's going to feel that way a little bit also. And I'm kind of surprised to hear, you know, I try not to give people false positives and false hopes, but this actually feels to me like it will take longer than you're expecting, but I think each time you're ready to give up, something, a little something else is going to happen to keep you guys going together. I think within 2 to 3 months, you will be very solidly reconnected, emotionally reconnected, and I think it will be, however, about 6 months before you can physically start to find a way to be together and think about how to put your lives so that you're physically in the same area and making it work. Right. So it will be slow, but it will be steady. And I would say, for good luck, hang on to your cynicism. Hang on to your questions and doubt. Don't let those go. But keep an open mind, because I think, again, what you'll find is that when you're about ready to just, you know, close the file.
You know?
What's that?
Has he learned his lesson? You know how some people learn their lessons and come back and some people don't.
I will say, not only has he learned his lesson, but you have changed quite a bit also. You have changed quite a bit also. You used to be, because of fear, you would sometimes try to stay on top of every situation all the time, every second. And that is a little wearing for people. And you have gotten much more relaxed in that area. You've gotten more confidence in yourself and you trust life a little bit better. So yeah. I will say, yes, he has changed, but also you need to acknowledge that you have changed as well. And keep that change in you going as well. He has a hard time being honest with you if you get on him too quickly. If you give him a little space, a little breathing room, you will find that he will be more straightforward with you than he has been in the past.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. One more thing I'll say to you. Don't forget to play. You sometimes are not good at playing.
Playing,
having fun in life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think you can even spell the word. So, I'm kidding. But you understand. Play? She's like, play? What are you talking about?
That's no, not I'm serious. You don't mean like play like in a relationship, though, no.
So in the relationship, when getting back together with him, absolutely try to go out and have fun with him from the beginning. Don't get too serious too fast. You're very good at serious. You've already mastered serious. You've got that down. You'll never lose it. But it would be nice for you to learn how to play. And he is very good at having fun. So let him be kind of your guide in having fun. You can trust him to do that. And that will get your relationship off on a very good foot. But I think you're going to be in for a very, very pleasant surprise with all of this. I know you're doubting. I can feel the doubt. And that's okay. You don't have to make the doubt go away. But take baby steps. What's that?
Like you said, I'm very good at serious, but I got to take my time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But do have fun, because you sometimes are terrible at having fun. You're always working and getting things done, and you think about the serious sides of life. And we're meant to play also
and
laugh and be silly. All right?
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, sweetie. Thank you for calling. Have a wonderful time with him.
Okay, what's your name?
Nona on Psychic Access, N-O-N-N-A.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, thank you for calling. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. I just want to repeat the call-in number, 724-444-4851. Now we could talk a little bit more about crystals while we're waiting for more calls, if you guys don't mind. I mean,
I'm sorry, but I do mind. I'm reading some information on things called mutations and muting. Ooh. muting crystals and such. But no, I was asking something about crystals, something to somebody. Do you think that we could put our memories into crystals ourselves? I don't know. I think so.
That's cool. I mean, I think crystals are used in radio technology, like they resonate or something. You know what I mean? And that's how the radio is.
Everything is generated by crystals. I mean, we are crystals. Well, look at Microsoft, my IBM computer chips, everything. What else do we have crystals in? We have crystals running a little cool watch. We have crystals that run a lot of power, the power of about what I say. But, you know, in the day of Atlantis, that's what was the big old crystal running the show. There's so much power in that. And I was looking for that archive. If you guys talk about something while you're talking, I'll let you know the dates that was. You might find it interesting. Anybody else listening about the Vogel crystals as well. So, you know, I don't use them all over my body like I know some people would do crystals.
Yeah.
But I do go on the beach. I love putting them in the ocean. On the full moon, and then I just think it's a fun. I don't know if it matters, but you know.
Ah, so you bathe yours in the light of the full moon sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I go into the ocean, I go down there, and then I go walking and move my then I have my stick, and I put the ruins in the sand and a little pictures. No, I do that, and I come back home and sit on the full moon, and I let it sit outside. I just feel better about it. Well, I don't know. It's not like I'm doing anything magical. It just it feels right and organic.
The full moon is full of power.
And then it's all, you know, look at the tides are all about the Grunion run with the full moon. Anything to do with that full moon. So, you know, crystals in the moon. I mean, do you think there's crystals on the planets? I know there are. But mountains. Sure. I always used to think that would be beautiful. Beautiful ruby mountains on maybe Mars. When I used to think about stuff like that.
They'll be miners. There'll be interstellar miners one day.
Yeah, and emerald mountains on these other planets. You know, I had this whole... Well, that's my imagination. That's what's so good about life, isn't it?
Once they discover it, they'll regulate the market. They'll control the market. Yeah, so the prices stay high. You know what I mean? They'll keep all of them in, like...
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to tell my daughter some made-up stories, but I'd talk about these beautiful mountains of these, not diamonds, but beautiful, colorful things of emeralds, but the people had beautiful mountains, and it wasn't like it was, actually, I was like living in this little world. It wasn't off the planets. It was kind of like in a world of whatever I wanted it to be. She was fascinated by that, but so what? I mean, it's like greenery. It's just crystal-y, and... But there was such power in them for good.
Yeah.
Not your ruby red slippers and that little dog.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There was a lot of crystal and gem symbolism in the Wizard of Oz, wasn't there?
Absolutely. There's
a lot of precious
minerals. Emerald City, your ruby red. Come on. They're all over the place. Come on. How can you run from that stuff? Total run. I don't know. But I would love to hear some more sometime about you guys. What you're talking, you know, and the work you do, because... although Nona, you know, I love your work too, but just because of the astrological aspect, again, I can pull those things together and other sciences. I guess I don't know about all of them, but
I'd have to say Steve probably has forgotten more about crystals than I even know right now. I think he knows a lot about them. Steve,
well, if you use him in his astrological work, I mean, maybe you might, as time goes on, who knows? I don't know.
I mean, he pairs them with buyers, and he understands them fundamentally somehow.
Well, we're talking for him, but Steve's not here. We're just gonna say, but
no,
we're just gonna talk about him.
I am here.
Just messing with you. It's funny.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you now.
I'm here. I've been here.
I know. He's talking for you.
Well, crystals are interesting. I love them. I really love them. I buy and sell crystals. I never make a bean, but
I don't know. Sometimes I look at my books, I think, why do I do this? But it's just fun. It's just,
they're lovely. They're lovely.
They are.
But it's are you using them more in your work, though? Are you using them more with your astrological work in that just about? Yes. I was wondering.
Yeah, because you can say, for example, if someone's under an energy or major progressed aspect that's a challenge that involves certain energies, then you can select the antidotes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading about Claudius Ptolemy. He's an incredible astrologer, and I was reading his book this morning with my coffee, and he was saying, you know, that there's always an energy that provides the antidote, and if you want to tone something down, then you tone it down with the antidote. So, for example, if someone's angry with you, you can focus on the opposite. You can focus on love and harmony. And if you choose things that resonate to love and harmony, such as crystals, then you're increasing that energy and therefore toning down the discord. So whether it's, you know, health or anything in life, any challenge we meet, we can minimize that challenge considerably by working with the antidotes. And I think it's very important with essential oils, with crystals, even with music, for example, to understand what they resonate to and know what you're selecting. So I mentioned before, if I hold hematite, I don't like it. I really don't like it. I've always felt that way. I just want to put it down. And it's because it doesn't vibe well with my frequencies.
Yeah. You're short circuit, like feeling short circuited somehow, maybe from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it causes, that makes some
it
sense.
Increases discord.
Right. Instead of, you know, I think that's absolutely would be making sense for everybody's different. It's like anybody that, it's a chemical thing, I think, because they're so, yeah, it's like a short circuiting for you. For me, I just want to play. You know how they said those, remember those worry stones. Remember those worry stones they used to have? You'd hold it in your thumb and you'd rub this rock.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. Remember like those? Mood rings? Mood rings?
No, not mood rings. Oh, it's okay. Called a worry stone. I don't know. Do you remember that? It's a worry. People would hold it in their I don't know what to sing. It wasn't one of those pet rocks. It was called a worry stone, and it was smooth. Maybe it was a river rock. I don't remember, but people would like to just feel it, but it didn't have all the, God, I'm not the only one. Come on, everybody.
Pet rock?
No.
Actually have pet rocks?
Yeah. Where have you been? Yes, those things, someone made some money. That was so silly. But no, these are worry stones, and you put in, worry stones they're called, and they would have like a little digging in the middle. What do you call it? Like a ledge, you know, to put your finger is silly, but it was do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And I see some of them, they even have like engravings on them.
Yeah, whatever. They do. Sometimes they have some, maybe a little paw bears or Indian type of, maybe, I think, sometimes.
Oh, they're beautifully colored.
And yeah, they
do
they
have
are.
Those indentations,
yeah,
like a lozenge
yeah.
or something.
Exactly. They do. But it's not a crystal so much, but it's almost like there's, you know, like people like to feel, there's a certain feeling to certain things. But that wasn't so much of a stone. I don't remember. It used to be like a, maybe it was a river rock or wood. I don't know. It just always felt so pleasant.
Yeah, well, it's so smooth, like a stone.
Yeah.
Like, it's smooth,
like,
by
it's like a blankie, you know, your blankies. People like to touch, you know, the edge of the blankie. It's like, what happened? And no, it was a pet rock. Now, what about pet rocks? Do you guys use that in your work?
But, you know, the Vikings had the runes. I mean, those weren't crystals.
I know.
Divinatory system on rocks, you know.
Well, yes, and they do have crystals of room. You know, people were made. I you know, I have some of those. You know, crystal. Well, Steve, you probably seen those because of your up. You know. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. What happened? I'm talking
to
myself.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
It was me on mute.
No, it wasn't you. It's just me. I think Steve, because Steve, you do have center because you do. What was I saying about the stone? Oh yeah, they make ruins. Some, you know, they made a lot of, you know, Robert Plumbing. No, you know about those stones and ruins, crystals. Gimmicky a little bit, but
I'm here, Maureen. I don't understand the question.
You've seen the ruins they've made out of. I mean, because you've been in enough places, and you have a center, so they have ruins. Ralph Plum, what's his name? The main guy who did the ruin book, Ralph. The ruins.
I don't use the runes. I don't use them. But I've seen
the crystals.
I think
and rose quartz.
Yeah, you can get them in different crystals. Yeah, I think we had some at one point. I haven't used runes myself, though.
Yeah, I think they were just starting to do. I mean, why not make diamonds and runes? I don't know. But yeah, that's true, though. Why not just put, I don't know. I kind of like it. But I say crystals are here to stay. They've been here a lot longer than us. But I don't know. Quite fascinating. But that's all I have to say. I love the show, and I appreciate you guys enjoying it as well.
It was great. Crystals Wonderful. Are going to rule the world.
Rule the world. Okay. Take it away, Steve. Steven.
Also, well, guys, thanks a lot for making this show awesome tonight. Big thanks to Margaret Ann Limbo for really educating us tonight on crystals and a whole bunch more. Also, like to thank Dog C. He always works hard behind the scenes to make all of this possible and to solve an unending list of technical details, and he's just an inspiration. Glad to be a part of this. And also like to thank Steve, Maureen, and Nona Marie as well, and the listener. And we'll see you guys next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.